If you have your copy of God's Word, if you'll turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to spend the next couple of weeks talking about spiritual gifts and talking about the church. How many know you're somebody in His body? Amen? Amen? Yes. You are somebody in His body. Yes. And so I want to talk a couple of weeks on spiritual gifts, and we're going to talk about how to find your spiritual gift. All of us have been created to be used by God. When you got saved, God put spiritual gifts in you to be used for the body of Christ. And so I want to encourage you this morning. And I want to take a couple of minutes and just share with you that there is God wants to activate the spiritual gifts in your life. Spiritual gifts activate your spiritual awakening. When God activates your spiritual gift, He awakens you. And you are created for service. You're created to be a part of the body of Christ. You're not just created. You have a purpose in this body. And it's to find the purpose of that body and what it is. If you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to begin reading. I just want to read a verse of Scripture there. And it's found in verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. Verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but many. For if the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of us, as He chose. If all were a single member, there would the body be. As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Yet one body. We're all created for His body. Now, before I get into this morning, I want to take just a moment because there's something that kind of on my spirit before I dive into this. When I begin to pray about teaching on the church and the importance of the church, we've gone through many aspects of it. We've talked about the inheritance of the church. We've talked about the purpose of the church. We've talked about many aspects of the church. And so God has created the church to be the vehicle which He uses in order to reach this world. We talked about that the church is to create atmospheres and climates and tear down strongholds and provide atmospheres where people who want to be free can be free. But when I begin to think about the church and the gifts of the church, I begin to think that we're living in an age where the devil has stolen from the house of God. He has stolen many of our children. He has stolen many of the gifts and callings that God has put in the church. They've been stolen by the enemy. And the enemy has ripped them out of the church and put them in the secular world. And the secular world has benefited what God intended the church to benefit from. I think of that scripture in Daniel chapter 1. Daniel, the prophet Daniel, talks about Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. Came down to Jerusalem, and he brought the people of God into captivity. What he did was he went in and he stole all the treasures out of the house of God. And the Bible said he took it from the house of God and brought them to the house of his gods, little g. He took all the valuables, all the gold, all the silver. He brought the people into captivity. He went into Jerusalem, whose name means peace. He went into the place of peace. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, of course, is a representation in the Old Testament of what we would call a principality in the New Testament, or a spirit in the New Testament. The spirit of Nebuchadnezzar is a principality. It's a ruler. It's a king. It's something that sets up lordship over something and keeps it in captivity. Babylon was a nation or a system in the Old Testament. We translate that into the New Testament. We say the spirit of Babylon. Revelation talks about the spirit of Babylon. What is the spirit of Babylon? The spirit of Babylon is a world system. It's a system that was set up to keep the people of God in bondage, to keep the people of God in captivity. And so Nebuchadnezzar represented a principality, a king that came into Jerusalem and held principality, held captive the people of God. Babylon was where they were taken. It was a place where they, a spirit in which kept them captive. And so they were there for 400 and something years. Now the Bible says this, that when they came in, they not only stole the gold and the silver that was in the temple, but the Bible said that they reached down and they took all the young men and all the young women. They took all of them that had giftings and all of them that were wise in counsel, that was smart in sciences and arts, and took all of those children and they took them back to Babylon. Went into the place of peace, stole out the children of God, took them back to another nation, brought them into captivity, taught them a different world system, taught them how to act differently, taught them a whole different idea of thinking and way of thinking so that they could change who they were. And where we live today is the enemy has not any different plan than he did 6,000 years or 5,000 years ago when he did this. Because the spirit of Babylon is still alive in our world and in our society. And Nebuchadnezzar, the prince and the spirit of this world, comes into the church. Y'all hearing me? He, for too long, he's come into the church. He's stolen children out of the house of God. Your children, your friends, my friends, who God had given gifts to, who God had given gifts that were meant for the church, not meant for the world, stole them out, took them to another place, used it in the world system, convinced them that the gifting that they got couldn't be used in the church. And all of a sudden, they began to buy in to the system, the philosophy of what they were stolen out of. But I'm here to tell you this morning that to be the church and to be the church and to allow the gifts to run in our life and to be a church that's the church and not a church that plays church, we have to recognize that God has given gifts to every man. And in that, we have to make room for the gifts that God has given men. We've got to develop those gifts. We've got to get a backbone, church. We've got to get some confidence in who we are. We've got to realize that we are the best option for the world. We are the best option for the gifts and callings that are in men. Why? Because we are the church that Jesus bought for, died for, gave his life for. And that no man has any gifts yet but that which is given to him by God. Now God will give us gifts and send us into the world to have an influence on the world. But we don't forget God when he does that. And I'm tired of the enemy stealing our children. I'm tired of the enemy stealing our children who we raised in church, who we brought to church, who we know is would be a benefit to the church. And they bought some lie that the world system offers them much better than what God can offer them and what the church can offer them. But I want to tell you, you can't put a price on salvation. You can't put a price on peace. You can't put a price on purity and holiness and the goodness of God. You can't repay God back all that God has done for you. So we cannot let the enemy come in and steal from the house of God. And steal the children of God. And steal out of the house of God. I begin to think over the years as the pastor, I've determined some things. You know, we have to speak truth. We have to speak the truth of the Word of God. And what the enemy tries to do is create environments that tries to dictate to me the parameters of our faith. The enemy will come in and try to dictate what the parameters of your faith and my faith is. The world will try to tell you what your faith is and what your faith is not. The world will try to determine and try to make you believe that you're crazy because you believe there's a God that lives in heaven. I'm here to tell you that I am not going to let this world determine my faith. I am not going to let it pull me down to a place to where I become ashamed to live for God. Where I become ashamed of who I am in Christ Jesus. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live for Him openly, just like I lived for the devil openly when I was unsaved. Why? Because the devil wants to dictate to us what faith is. And I determined as a pastor, and I determined as a believer, I am not going to let the spirit of religion, I'm not going to let the enemy to define what holiness is and what purity is, but I'm going to preach it like it's preached. We're going to preach the Word of God and create an atmosphere where people can be free and live out the spiritual gifts that are in their life in the house of God. And not be ashamed of it. How many are not ashamed this morning of who you are in Christ? And live those things out. Can I tell you something? The Scripture says it's impossible to love God whom you have not seen. Huh? And not love your brother who you have seen. And what I mean by that is this. The world tries to tell you the church doesn't need to have its hand in the media. The church doesn't need to have its hand in social issues. The church doesn't need to have its hand in the poor or in the financial world or in the sports world. The church don't belong there. That's what they're trying to dictate to us what the parameters is. And the thing is, as the church, we have bought into it and sold ourselves out. Because what we've done is we've stopped loving people and stopped believing God for people. And what happens is that we start focusing on ourselves and we lose a sense of urgency that is out there. How can we love God in here and profess His name in here but not love our brother who is out there? Are y'all hearing me this morning? Why? Because we have sold out. God came to get... Listen, love is not a passive word, folks. Love is not a passive word. But the church has treated the word love as if it's passive. We said, well, we define love as, well, if you just accept me, right? If you just tolerate me, that's love. That's how the church does it. We just tolerate some folk. We accept folks. No, love is not passive. Love is aggressive. God came to get you. Jesus sent His Son into this world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He left heaven, put on the nature of man, lived in this body, walked on this world, lived sinless. Love did not just accept you. Love came and got you. And Jesus died on the cross, and the blood of Jesus set you free. There is a price for your salvation. Love comes and gets. Love just doesn't accept the way things are. As a church, we cannot hide the spiritual gifts that God has given us and just tolerate. I'm telling y'all, I'm about ready to get real happy and fly out of here. You just can't be passive with love. We got to go get this world. We got to go get the drug addict. We got to go get the alcoholic. We got to go get the families. We got to go get the young people. We got to go get the children. We've got to go get and take over our government. We've got to go get it. Love is not why. Because no greater love than this was Him who laid His life down for a friend. You've got to go get what God has given us authority over. Huh? Which means you got to go get your children. Well, I love them. We'll just accept them. No, you got to go get them. You got to tell them the truth. Every day, you got to call. Every day, you've got to let them know that there's a greater, better way. God has a better plan for them than what Babylon could give them. Y'all hearing me this morning? I'm going to start preaching to this music equipment. We have pacified, set back, and tolerated. But God has loved you, and He has loved me. And He loved me to the place to where He didn't just love me, but He changed me. He transformed me. Thank God somebody came after me. Thank God somebody saw me and invested in my life. Thank God there was somebody that said, I'm not going to be passive when it comes to God. Huh? I can tickle your ears. You know what you want this morning? I can tickle your ears, slap a little bow in your hair, knock you upside the head, and then tell you to come back next week. Love is not passive. When you're in love, you pursue it. Help me, Jesus, because I'm about ready to have a fit. Why? 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 I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. What has happened is that we have allowed the world to set up images about the church to the world that is not true. Just like he took the children out of captivity, or took them out of Jerusalem, he brought them into Babylon. He changed their name. Y'all hear me? He changed their name. He gave them a different diet. He trained them different. He taught them a different language. Why? So that eventually, when they got older, they would grow up and represent who they were being held captive by. That is what the world has done to the church. He steals people out of the house of God. And many of you, some of you may even be here, that God has stolen you out of the house of God. He has taught you the language of the world. He's taught you the language of the system of the world you live in. He has fed you a steady diet of this society. And he's all to the purpose that when you grow older, you'll forget everything about God. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why? We've allowed the world to set images up of the church that are not true. We've allowed the world to dictate to us who we are. We've allowed media, we've allowed television, we've allowed society to just call us names and to say what they want to say, even though things are not true. We allow them to take people that God does send into a marketplace or into the sports world or into the arts or into those areas, and we allow the world to put a label on them. Huh? Y'all hearing me? We'll celebrate Beyonce shaking her booty and bulking up, all bicking up on TV like it's some big deal. But yet we'll call Tim Tebow a freak because he prays in the end zone. Y'all hearing me? Huh? We'll celebrate that craziness and say this is what's crazy and that's not what's crazy. Somebody honors God and we call them a lunatic because they keep themselves pure before marriage. Okay, all right, I'll quit because I know I don't have the right crowd this morning. Right? Call them crazy. Well, I just got to try it out. You got to try nothing. Let me tell you, it all works the same. I'm not mad. I'm happy. I'm not mad. I'm excited. Why? Because it's time for the church to realize what our place is in the world. It's time for us all of a sudden to decide we're going to be the church God has called us to be. We're going to raise up the giftings and callings that are in this house. We're going to use it not to tolerate society, not to tolerate what's going on around us, but to change the atmosphere that is around us. Huh? To change how people vote, to change how people live, to change how people think. Tear down strongholds and principalities that have ruled over an area or a territory or a city for years. All of a sudden, a group of believers find out who they are in God, find their giftings in God, operate in those giftings. They'll begin to tear down strongholds that have held captive the people in a city for years. Now, let me tell you the difference between captivity and bondage. The children of Israel were in bondage when they were in Egypt. Bondage, you have a master who has imprisoned you. That's what you were before you got saved. You understand that? You were in bondage. You are a slave to your flesh. You are a slave to sin. You are a slave to your passions. Maybe some of you. You were a slave to you. You were in bondage. You didn't have enough sense to break out of what you were in. But when Jesus came, he broke the bonds, a bondage off of you through the power of the blood of Jesus. And he removed the bondage that was on you. But captivity is different. captivity, you can still be God's, but be captive. Israel never stopped being God's. But when Babylon took them into Babylon, they were in captivity. They were still God's, but they were captive. They were captive. Matter of fact, when I told you they changed their language, they changed their diet, they changed their names, they changed who they were, they began to teach them their systems. And guess what happened? 400 years later, when they swung the doors wide open and they said, you can go back to your homeland, guess what happened? Not all of them went back. Because captivity has nothing to do with bondage. Captivity has to do with the way we think, the way we act, the way we live, and what we allow to influence our lives. They could go back to Israel, but you know why they didn't go back? Because the captivity had taught them a system and a way of thinking that what they thought where they were better off than being back in the house of God. That is how the devil has stolen our children out of the house of God. He's convinced them that where they are is much better off than being in some dead, cold, dry, musty, angry church folk. Five claps. That's all right. But I want to tell you, they're half right. And they're right because we've not realized how to be the church. How to be the church. How to be the church. I want to be the church. I want to be the church. I want this place to be an atmosphere where the children of God can't be stolen from the house of God. I want to create an atmosphere here when those children in those back rooms grow up, when they get old enough, the world won't steal them and take them away. Take them out for their own good. That these young people, they get so fire on God that when they turn 23, 24, and they're on their own and mom ain't dragging them to church. See, I need to preach this. And I'll tell you why I need to preach it. Because a generation is being slid out of here. And the enemy is dragging them out by their feet. And I'm not going to let him do it. So I'd rather suffer the consequences of you being mad at me than another person stolen out of this house that God has placed in here. Huh? Huh? And I need some folks that are willing to find their place in the body. Find their place in the body so God can use you. So God can use you to reach and save and change and influence our generation. Whew. I ain't even got the preaching yet. But it feels good in here. It does to me. So we've got to be the church. You are somebody in His body. Say that. Say, I'm somebody in His body. Let me tell you this. You are important to this church. But the question is the church important to you? When we look through Scripture, God many times in the New Testament described the church in many ways. For example, He said the church is the bride of Christ, for we are a bride. He uses the example that we are the building, that Christ is the foundation and we are the building. We are living stones in His kingdom. He's used the analogy that we are the army of God and that Christ is our victorious King, who have marched under the blood-stained banner of Christ Jesus. He's used the analogy that we are a flock of His field, and He is the great shepherd who leads us and guides us. So there's many examples of the body, and today I want to talk about being the body of Christ, Christ being the head, and we being the body. All of these speak of one thing, of two things, of unity and togetherness. Bride of Christ, a building of His workmanship. He's the foundation. An army, and He is the King. A flock, and He is the shepherd. All of it speak of togetherness. It all speaks members one of another, as it says there in Corinthians 12. We are members one of another. This is a community. This is a togetherness. This is a group. We're not individuals that have come into this place. When you're a part of the body of Christ, you are part of something that is bigger than you. For we're the body. No one can say, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in the church. That's contrary to Scripture. To say, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe Jesus and the church are not identical, but Jesus and the church are inseparable. You hear what I'm saying? Jesus and the church are not identical, but they're inseparable. Just like a bride is not separated from a groom. Just like a head can't be separated from a body. Just like a foundation can't be separated from a building. Just like a sheep can't be separated from the flock. We are not identical, but we're not separable. You can't have the church without Jesus. You hear me? Without Jesus, there is no church. I don't care if they meet, flip quarters, do whatever they do, slap oil on people's head. If Jesus is not preached and he's not there, it's not the church. You can't have the church without Jesus, without the blood-stained, bought, anointing power of the resurrected Savior. If it's not there, it's not the church. Okay, I'm just going to tell you. It's not about doing just good. It's not about talking about Jesus as a prophet. It's not just talking about Jesus as a teacher or a philosopher. He is the head. He is the cornerstone. He is the foundation. He is the living shepherd that watches over his flock, and you are a part of his flock. You can't separate them. Yeah, it's good. I feel it. I'm about ready to fly out of here. Why? Because we're the church. All these things go together. You can't say yes to Jesus and no to the church. Well, to love God, but I don't love the church, I want to tell you something. If you don't have a desire for fellowship with the saints, you ain't going to have a desire for heaven. Okay. That's all right. I'm not afraid of y'all this morning. I got a shield around. I'm like, who's the superhero with the shield? Is it Aquaman? Who is it? I got a shield this morning. It's the anointing. And I want to tell you, you can't have the church without Jesus. And you can't love Jesus without loving the church. You can't love the work of God without loving Jesus. And it doesn't matter how many good works you do without Jesus, it has no eternal value at all. Love for Jesus and love for what Jesus loves is inseparable. I'm telling you, people come to me and say, well, I love Jesus. I just don't go to church because I hate church people. You don't love Jesus. Huh? Okay. Put that in a hookah pipe and smoke it. You can't love the church and not love Jesus. You can't say I'm a believer and not love the people of God and think that you can separate a walk with God away from the people of God. You can't separate it. Why? Because Jesus never separated it. Yes, yes. Woo! We're getting ready. It's getting hot in here. See, I know what y'all were thinking. Y'all thinking that song, it's getting hot in here. Take off all your clothes. I know what y'all are thinking. Y'all know the rap. 1 Corinthians 12:12. Jesus is the body. A couple of things. First of all, the church as his body. First of all, in a body, there is a manifested person. In the body, there is a manifested person. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all members of the body through many are one body, so is it with Christ. In the body, there's always a manifested person. See, I'm a manifested person in my body. All you know about me, you know through my body. All you know about me is my actions and what I do. You know about me through my body. We say, well, I read what you wrote. Well, my body wrote that. I heard what you said. Well, my body said that. What the body is doing or what the body has done, that's the only way you can know me. A person manifested in this body is Shane. You know me by what my body does. Is that not right? That's how you know me. How does the world know the church? The world knows Jesus and the church through his body. What the body does manifests who Jesus is. God is spirit, and a spirit is invisible. My spirit is invisible. I have a human spirit. But what the church is, manifests the Spirit of God and manifests Jesus in the church. We are to manifest the Lord Jesus in this body, in this church. We're to manifest Christ as believers. We're to show Him and show Jesus through this body. We are not to manifest coolness or swag or to manifest trends. You hear what I'm saying? Well, we're the cool church. Because we all wear flip-flops and shorts and tank tops. And we got smoke machines and we got lights and we've got action. We got movies. We got it all, baby. We're the trend. Look, that's all good. And it can be used as a method to reach a generation. But I'm telling you, the church is the manifest body of Christ Jesus. We're not called to do anything but manifest Him. Ha ha ha. Yes. There's too much of how, listen, we focus on too much of how we do church ahead of the fact that we should be the church. We spend all of our time trying to figure out how we going to do church. How are we going to come in? They come in from the left and the elders come in from the right. And they sit on the front row and we take offering here. And we sing here. And we do this. How are we going to do it? How can we make people comfortable? How can we get the air right? How can we get the heat right? How can we make the food right? How can we make children's church right? He did not call us. He did not call us to teach people how to do church. But He called me and He called you to be the church. We'll figure it out. That's why I'm open to the first song if the Holy Ghost falls, baby. We're going with it. I'm just telling you right now, if you expect to come in here and to put some time limit, okay. I'm getting all the religious folks upset. You mean we sang two songs this week? We normally sing four. He preached 45 minutes. But you'll sit and watch that television show 5-6 hours and not move that fanny off. You'll sit there and hold your bowels till that show's over. Come on, am I telling you the truth? Just 10 more minutes and I'll go pee. It's just about over. It's just about over. But you sit in church. My Lord, it's been 15 minutes. What's taking that brother so long? I've got to pee. I've got to take my pill. I've got to do that. We got to break that kind of stuff. We got to set you free from that religious spirit. And be the church. I said be the church. Put a time frame on me, boxing me in like I'm some cat. What time are we finishing today, preacher? I'll tell you when we're done. When the Holy Ghost says we're finished. Religious devil, the spirit of Babylon getting the church. Want to control every aspect of the church. Want to try to dictate to everybody what we're going to do, what we're not. I'm telling you what we're going to do. We're going to do what Jesus does. Why? Because He's the manifest presence of this body. Well, them church folk. Well, I say that sometimes too. Walk around with me for a week. Read my email. Sit in my counseling sessions. I go home sometimes with a headache so big that Geritol, aspirin, and naproxen can't even get rid of it. But I don't get up here and complain about it. Why? Because I love what Jesus loves. Jesus loves the church, and I love the church too. Woo! I could do just a little Holy Ghost. Ha! I make Hee Haw proud this morning, I'm telling you. Just too much emotion for me. Is that right? And that crazy drama you got at your house is not too much emotion? Them crazy kids breaking all your rules, tearing up your house? Huh? We get in the church, that's just too much. He's just asking too much of me. That's right? Is that right? But you don't say that to your boss when he asks you to work another 5 hours. Huh? Why? Well, he pays me. Let me tell you something. Jesus paid a price you could never pay back, sweetheart, and you'll never be able to pay it back. You better serve him every breath you got. You better praise him for everything you got, because he brought you too far to leave you where you're at. Ha, 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 ha. Woo! Hambaba, shatorobo, kuraba, sharababa. What the body is doing or has done is what you know in me and what you see. The church is the visible part of the invisible Jesus. Jesus is the invisible part of the visible church. Together we manifest him through the body. Only one who has ever, he's the only one, as I said, during communion that has ever lived the Christian life. Let me tell you, if Jesus is ever going to be lived on this platform, he'll be lived through me. If Jesus is ever going to be lived on this platform, he'll be lived through Adam. If Jesus is ever be seen around here, he'll be seen through the people that serve him. You don't have your own agenda here, sweetheart. You didn't come into this place. You're not going to control this place. We're going to honor the gift that's in you and put you in the right place of the giftings that God has put on your life, and we're going to set the place in order. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? You set the house in order because God is about order. And I want to tell you, when we get out of order and get disjointed, the body becomes handicapped. We walk around. Let me tell you, this is probably what the church looks like. If we got a spiritual, I'm not saying our church. I don't know. I'm just saying that God puts us where he wants us to be. You better find out your spiritual gift. You better get busy, because somebody needs the anointing that's on your life. Somebody needs a teacher. Somebody needs an usher. Somebody needs somebody to tell them that. Somebody needs somebody to go to the hospital. I can't do it all. I'm just telling you, I can't do it all. First of all, I'm not smart enough. Second of all, I don't have the energy. And third of all, I'm not going to. Because I'll be dead in 10 years. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. That's preach and aggravate the far out of you all. Paul told Timothy, I put you into the ministry. He didn't say, well, Timothy, wait till I get there and I'll deal with it. No, you deal with it. You deal with it. You deal with it. Pastor, can you come over and pray for my family? My aunt, she's just throwing stuff, cutting everybody up. You know what? I can't do any more than what you do. You know what you need to do? You need to grab a slap of oil, whether it be Crisco or vegetable oil. You need to grab your Bible. And you need to walk over to Aunt Susie that's cutting everybody up and say, sweetheart, drop the knife, because the anointing of God, I am a representation of his church and a part of his body. No more in this house. That's called taking authority. That's talking about walking out your Christian life. That's talking about being who you are in Christ Jesus. Always waiting for somebody else to do what God's given you the authority to do. What makes you think I can fix your family when you ain't willing to pray to fix your family? Oh, my Lord Jesus. That's all right. I feel the pushback, but that's all right. Y'all hearing what I'm saying this morning? I love you. I love the church. I love what Jesus is doing in the church. And nobody can do what Jesus has done. Ask yourself, you know, we say, hey, what would Jesus do? You better ask him what he would do. And then when he tells you what to do, you better do what he tells you to do. Well, I don't think I'll do that. What would Jesus do? This is what he'd do. Well, I don't know if I'll do that. It's Christ in you who is the hope of glory. I said Christ in you. I said Christ is in you. I said, Christ is in you. The Spirit of God is in you. Spirit of God is in you. The Spirit of God is in you. It's not in a building. It's not because Granddaddy laid the brick and put his name on it that now there's a special anointing here. When you leave, that brick is just the same as it was when they put it in place. Why? Because God goes with you. God is not a building. He's not a place. He's in His church. You are the church. When you show up, God shows up. That's why I don't care what atmosphere I walk into. When I go into a place, I'm not going to let it dictate and have authority over me. If I walk into a place or an atmosphere or a group of people where it's sad and all they want to do is be negative and talk, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to start lifting up the name of Jesus. Why? I'm going to change the atmosphere. Why? Because time is too short to let people dictate what you give to. Some of y'all giving people too much control over your happiness. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Some of you giving some people too much place in your life. You just need to open the door, kick them out. Say, hey, I'm not here, sweetheart. I'm in my zone. This is my happy zone. This is my Jesus zone. And don't bring that negative stuff into my zone. Don't bring that drama into my house. This is a house of peace. This is not a house of confusion. This is a house where God is honored. Woo. Oh, Lord Jesus, I got to hurry up. I ain't even got nowhere. Woo. Why? I'll give you the second point and then we'll stop. In the body, there's a manifested person. Number two, in the body, there's also a ministering purpose. What's the purpose of my body? The purpose of my body is to minister to me. God has my body to serve me. My hand serves me. My feet take me where I want to go. My eyes help me see where I'm going. My ears help me hear what I need to hear. My hands brush my teeth, comb my hair, praise God. Who's going to do that if my body doesn't do it? Right? My body is here to minister to me. My eyes see. My hands feel right. My legs carry me. They take me. We are here to minister. The church is here to minister to the manifested person that's in the body. Who's the manifested person in the body of Christ? Jesus is. Your gift in your life and your giftings on your life is to minister to the manifested person of this body, which is Jesus Christ. Now, my body is not to have plans of its own. Right? I told you on Thursday night, what if my hand said to me and woke up and said, and my hand could talk and said, hey, Pastor Shane, guess what? I got some plans of my own today. I'm going to brush your teeth. I'm going to comb your hair. I'm going to smack someone in the back of the head. I'm going to pick your nose. I'm going to clean out your ear. And I'm going to steal something. I would be afraid of my body if my body had plans of its own. Huh? Would you not be afraid of your body if your body had plans of its own? It's to serve me. It's not to. It's to serve at my command. My hand is not to have plans of its own. My feet are not to have plans of its own. So many times we're telling Jesus what our plans is. So many times we got the body telling Jesus what our plans are. We are here to serve Jesus. And we're to do the will of God. We're not to serve our own selves. We're not here to serve something foreign. We're here to serve Him who is the manifested presence in this body. We are to serve Him. The eyes see for Him. The hand does for Him. We use our feet to go for Him. We use our heart to love for Him. We use our eyes to see for Him. You hear what I'm saying? We are to serve the presence of the manifested body. We're talking now when we're talking about spiritual gifts. We're all gifted. All of us have been placed in a body, as the word says here, for a particular thing. And the question is, are you available? Are you available to God? Are you available to Him? Are you responsive to Him? Do you have your own plans, or do you want to do His plan? And I want to tell you, some of you are in here, and let's be honest this morning, some of you got your own plans. You just need to line things up, back up with His plans, and He'll straighten everything out. And then one, get back in the body. And when you're a part of the body, He can use us jointly to do what He's called us to do. We don't have plans of our own. We look to Him for everything we do. We keep trying to perfect orthodoxy. We just need to manifest Him, and the orthodoxy will figure itself out. When we were in England a couple years ago, me and Jordan, we were in London, and we went by a church that was bombed out in World War II by Hitler. It's a church that was bombed out in London when Hitler attacked the Allied forces in Great Britain, and there was a church there that had been bombed out and been rebuilt. In the front of that church, there was a statue. They said that when the bombs hit that church, that statue, that likeness statue of Jesus, had been hit and fell to the ground. Well, American soldiers are the ones who helped rebuild that church, and many of the GIs helped restore it and replace it. And the statue, they lift up and they begin to put the pieces of the statue back together. They could not find the hands to the statue of Jesus. So what one of the GIs did, he made a plaque and put it on the side of that statue. And it said this: "We are His hands." And the truth is, this morning, we are His hands. We are His feet. We are His eyes. He's not going to manifest Himself in anything else but His body this morning and His church, and who you are and who I am this morning and who we are and who the church is and who He's called the church to be. If we think that we've done God a favor by coming and listening to a sermon, I've got news to you. We are not just called to come and listen to a sermon. We're called to service. And service begins when you begin to allow Him to be manifested. When you begin to serve Him through this body, He's manifested. The body serves a manifested person. The body is a ministering to a person who is Christ Jesus. Who is Christ Jesus. We are to manifest His presence. We are to manifest Him in our presence. I want to close with this story. Adam, would you come? We're going to pray for people this morning. You're searching for your spiritual gift. You're searching for your purpose. You've come into this building, you've felt a sense of loss. You have no idea where you're to serve, what you're to do. I'm going to pray for you tomorrow, this morning, that God will activate His service in you, and God will activate the gifts of the Spirit that are in you and the giftings that He's given you. And I'm going to pray that they're activated, that you can serve the body. Just don't sit there. Do something for Jesus. You know why? Because you sit around here, you're going to get awful aggravated at me, because I'm going to push you and push you and push you. Why ain't you doing something for God? You're too valuable to be sitting on the sidelines and not doing something for Jesus. I don't care if it's picking up a broom. I don't care if it's serving coffee. I don't care if it's walking out picking up paper. It doesn't matter whether you're singing, whether you're preaching. The Bible says we are not to be envious of the gifts. We're not to be jealous of the gifts. But to find where God has placed us and put yourself there. Plant yourself. Put yourself there. I love you. I want you here. I need you. If we're going to reach a city, it's not because of me. It's not because of this platform. It's not going to be because of those leaders. We reach this city because some of you will be walking the streets. Some of you will be the hands of Jesus and the feet of Jesus and the eyes of Jesus and the love of Jesus. Because some of you are. That's what's got to manifest in this building. I'm not building my kingdom. We're not building a kingdom of River Valley Community Church where we're all just alike, look alike, and make you all out to be a bunch of orthodox robots. Find what you do good and do it. Find what God's called you to do and do it. Go to Paris. Go to France. Go to Mexico. Go to Honduras. Go to Haiti. Go down to the streets with a sign saying, "I'll pray for you." Huh? Get in Bible study. Yeah. Go to your neighbor. Bake some cookies. Yeah. Stir up some Kool-Aid, man. Take a bunch of Kool-Aid over to him with a pumpkin pie. Throw some whipped cream on that baby. Tell him that Jesus loves him. Yeah. You want to get me to church? Just bring me some banana pudding. I'll follow you anywhere you want to go. by the way. I want to know what's up with no banana pudding and primetimers the last 2 months. Y'all think I'm kidding? I'm about ready to shut that thing down. People bringing in one cream pie. Who are you going to feed with one cream pie? We need 2-3 cream pies. You know who I'm talking to. Last month, I didn't even get a piece of it. This month, I had to share with somebody. You kidding me? That's your gift. Bake some pies, baby. That's your gift. Ain't had Johnny Marzetti in 6 months. Ain't had no chicken pot pie since Thanksgiving. Look at her sitting over there hiding like she don't know what I'm talking about. Ain't had no tacos. Where's that taco salad Lisa makes? She ain't made that in 4 months. I'm a starving man, y'all. Y'all got gifts and you're hiding your gifts. Make some pies. Make some chicken. Love on some people. Go to the hospital. Write them a note. Help somebody in their car. Pay for somebody's groceries. Buy somebody's meal at McDonald's. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Help one of these young people do something they can't do for themselves. Help some of these single moms out. Help these married mothers out whose husbands work all day. Help somebody do something for Jesus. Somebody, I said somebody, do something for Jesus. Because I'm not going to let you sit here. You can go to the dead church on another city and sit there and nobody bother you. But I'm finding you. I'm hunting you down. I'm going to find out what you do good and I'm going to push you. You're either going to leave or you're going to do it. Why? 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 Because I'm tired of the world telling the church that this is who they are. It's not who we are. We are His hands and His feet. We are His body. We are what this word says. I don't care what CNN says. That's not who we are. And I'm not going to cower to it. Stand with me. I'm going to close with this story. Then I'm going to pray for people. Listen, if you want to find what your purpose is in the church, you better run to this altar this morning. Because I'm going to slap you with the Holy Ghost. I ain't playing this morning. I'm not praying for you just for you to get tickled and fizzled so your chest hairs will curl up. When I'm praying for you this morning, I'm praying there's an impartation of service that comes into your life. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'll tell you what you do first. You love Jesus and you love the church. When you find that first, then you'll figure out what you're supposed to do. Part of the problem is you don't love Jesus as much as you love everything else in your life. Uh-huh. That's good preaching, preacher. That's good preaching, preacher. You just keep preaching it. You better break some stuff off you. You better break some stuff off you. You better stop letting the world steal you out of the house of God. Uh-huh. Somebody's getting touched this morning. There's a missionary getting touched this morning. There's a preacher getting touched this morning. Somebody's getting their marching orders this morning. Somebody's going to get a vision to do something for God. Somebody's going to get activated to serve the body of Christ this morning and do something besides sit on your double active caboose back there and thinking it's there just for hot air. Pastor went to visit a family in Georgia. It was a young couple. They didn't have any children. When he got to their house, he walked in, he noticed they had a little dog. Pastor noticed that the couple made over that dog just like it was the best thing in their life. They petted that dog, they praised that dog. Pastor was overwhelmingly amazed at how much they cared for that little dog. He noticed that they were a young couple, or relatively young. And he noticed that they didn't have any children, so he just kind of out of conversation said, you know, y'all seem to be such a happy couple. You have such a beautiful home and you both have good jobs. And I noticed that you love that little dog. He said, How come y'all have not had children? At that moment, the mother broke out in tears, got up, left the room. Pastor said to her husband, he said, I'm sorry. Did I say something wrong? He said, Pastor, you couldn't have known. He said, we did have a son. He was a young man. At 17, he died of cancer. When he was dying, he had that little dog on his lap. It was his dog. He turned to his mother and me, and he said, Mom, Dad, when I'm gone and I go be with Jesus, will you take care of this little dog? And they promised him that as long as that little dog lived, they'd take care of that little dog. He said, I'm sorry, Pastor, that we just become embellished with that dog and love on that dog and just overwhelmingly love on that dog. But we feel that when we love this little dog, we're showing love to our son. The truth is, this morning, when you show love to the church, you're showing love to Jesus. When you love what Jesus is loves, you're loving Jesus. Why church? Because we're commanded to be the ministering body of His church. We're commanded to let Him be manifested through the church. And He needs us this morning.